laziness.
Yeah, it is. And
misunderstanding.
Yeah, it is negative. And few more. Pardon? Pessimistic. Yeah, that is also, we can say it's negative. And
always depending on others.
Oh yeah, always depending on others.
Blaming others.
Blaming others, yeah.
Swollen with pride.
Very egoistic. Very proud. Pride. Okay, this is also negative. Yes. I am hearing more negative.
Greediness.
Yeah, greediness is dangerous. Yeah.
Overconfidence,
it's also dangerous. I am hearing more negative attitude than positive. Yeah, it is easy to understand. It is happening. And what else? Anybody else? Okay, we will flash some of them. See, joy, happy, hope, mercy, peace, honesty, harmony, tolerance, enthusiasm, understanding. Easy to understand. Enough. Negative, you all said. Anger, stress, egoism, racism, laziness, revenge, carelessness, criticism, jealousy, all this attachment. And these things are required. It is necessary. Work, career, routine, profession. And what is waste? To think about the past and worry about the future. It's waste. So we go further from here. See, like here it was mentioned, the modern positive attitude coaching classes and training centers, they talk about you have to be positive. If we have an empty glass or a glass with half filled water, you have to say it is half full. Don't say it is half empty. See, the problem with this kind of training, which is happening for past 40 to 50 years, it is just superficial. The people are artificially acting positive, but deep within they are negative. They can get some work done out of it, but later on they don't relish, they go through bad times. So the management, the latest management guru is Stephen, pardon?
Stephen Covey.
This Stephen Covey has studied the change in pattern in positive mental attitude. He said that 200 years ago, the positive attitude is to be based on character, the core of the person, which is within him, like the attitude of being very humble, tolerant, all this are his character, to be very, having a very strong self-esteem. These are within him. This kind of attitude, if we have, we will never be shaken whether we are in the tops or the bottoms. So these those are called characteristics, ethics. Today, the training which is given is artificial positive attitude, like keep smiling. It's a plastic smile which a hostess or a receptionist gives. When the heart of the earth, she is crying because something has happened in her house or the boss or something. So this does not help much, and people, in spite of all their training, they succumb to the pressures of the society, of the work, and even the self problems. So we today will try to learn from the Vedic perspective, all the scriptures put together, all the good literatures put together, we churn them and we bring out 8 points for positive mental attitude. Here we see that the person is looking very positive, he is putting his right arm, his arm over other person's shoulder to show that I am dominating you. I am very confident. He is acting as if I am very confident. So
this kind of body language, they emphasize on body language, then transaction, attitude and all these things which goes on, but it is all superficial. That is what Stephen Covey is saying. What is the problem? What is the problem? I would like to say a small story. Once there was a hunter. The king told him, you can hunt in my area, this forest, but don't touch the foxes. The hunter said yes, and he went to the forest. He laid a trap, and by the evening he saw one fox was trapped. Then he was thinking, oh, the king said not to catch or hunt a fox. But again he thought, I did not get any hunt. So he was feeling bad. So he said, I will keep this fox with me. Who is going to count how many foxes are there in the forest? Immediately, by the time, there was a lot of horses coming and he could hear. They are coming nearer and nearer and nearer. Oh, it is the king is coming. So he hid the fox below his coat. He liked this horse, fox, because it had soft fur. He said that I will keep this fox, no problem. This fox was little small, so he kept him within his coat, covered it very nicely. Now, the king came very close to him, and the king is asking, how was your hunting? He said, okay, everything is fine. Did you get, everything was okay, nothing I got. And there was a lot of talk. And by the time, then after some time, king asked, you are okay, fine, everything, you are staying, any food problem, anything. A lot of questions he asked, he answered, and the king left. By the time the king left, this hunter, he just fell down and he died. What happened? Superficially, he was answering all the questions very nicely, he was looking fine. But within him was that negative fox. That fox was trying to hold it, but the fox was tearing his stomach and intestine, and he ate up the intestine. While this fellow was answering the questions, his intestines were and he died. Similarly, superficially we may smile. Superficially we may show a good positive body language, like keeping hands like this and this. We can do that. But we still have that fox within us. That fox will kill us from within. Even though we look very presentable, but some news will come that he committed a suicide or he died, something. And it is happening today. So Stephen Covey is saying that the problem is simple. He is saying that you want to go to a place, but you have a wrong map. So even if you, like, you want to go from here to Delhi, there is a map. But by mistake you got a map which is showing path to Chennai. So whatever you do, your end result will be wrong because you are following the map which is going towards Chennai. The car in which you are sitting and following the map, you are thinking I am going to Delhi. Whatever you do, positive mental attitude, whatever you do, but your destination will be Chennai. It will be wrong. That's why the positive thinking would be meaningless without the right map. Without having our course script correct, without having our course script correct, whatever we do will be superficial and will have no meaning. End result will be wrong. What is that course spirit, this course script? Course script, it is to understand that beyond this body, there is something called the soul, which the modern society fails to understand. This is today's management guru, Stephen Covey, speaking. So now, we are trying to give you the Vedic perspective. some don'ts and some do's. So the first one is give up unreasonable expectations. We will discuss each point, and I will discuss in brief each point, and after each point there can be one question for the topic. Second, success. That's the wrong definition which is now existing. Success is not in trophy won, but in the race run. Third, comparison. Everybody likes to compare, but we say give up unhealthy comparison. Point four, count the blessings of God on you. Don't be bothered about what the world thinks of you. Tolerate the swabhav of others. And there is something called as the blame game. Give up that and see the sunny side of the people. Desires will be there, should not be expressed or suppressed, but channelized or sublimated. Okay. They should be sublimated. So these are the 8 tips. We'll discuss this one by one. Each one is in itself very, very interesting. What is unexpected? Like unreasonable expectation? Like to think that I should be the hero always, or everybody should love me, or whatever I do will be always correct. There should be no mistakes. Or even if I do mistake, nobody should catch me. It's unreasonable expectation. So what happens if we have such expectations? Then the expectation is unreasonable. We are actually far away from reality. Just because we are far away from the reality, the gap is more. We go through a negative attitude, which is called as stress. And if the stress is too much, it creates fear. This unreasonable expectation is that within us. We say that like a person is got a frame, is has got a make. Like I would like to give a small example. Like we have a Luna scooty. It can go how fast? 40 kilometer or 50 kilometer per hour. Then we have Maruti 800. How fast maximum it can go? 80 kilometers per hour. Then we have Mercedes. How fast it can go? 250, 180 kilometers per hour. Then a person with in the Luna, if he is saying that I can go faster than Mercedes, then does it make any sense? It's unreasonable. By thinking like that, he will be under stress, because reality is that he is only 40 kilometers maximum he can do that. That leads to stress, and it leads further to fear. This is dangerous. Instead of unreasonable expectations, we should have reasonable expectation. Yeah, maximum a Luna can go to 60 kilometers per hour. Or we can, if we want to do something special, then you can fit some equipment to Luna and make it fly. So that can be done. But still it is unreasonable. Maximum you can think that, okay. So Luna, a person sitting in Luna should not have such expectation. With that, he is creating problems for himself. Because this world is designed in such a way that, like, you know, expecting that everybody should trust me, everybody should love me, everybody should be good to me. If we think we have such thoughts, then it is not correct. Because there will be somebody who will not like to love us. They will not trust us. So we should not get disturbed. Maximum what can we do? Like Chanakya Pandit says that this world is like a mirror. If you want everybody to love you, you try to give love to everybody. If you want everybody to trust you, you try to develop the trust in others. He says that Atma Vat Sarva Bhuteshu. What you want to happen to you, you should try to give it to others. Like you want everybody to love you, so you should try to love others. It's like a mirror. For a small example I can give, if we sprinkle rose water on others, the other person will come and also sprinkle rose water on us. But if we sprinkle dirty water on others, he will also come and spit on us. So that way. So maximum we can do is we should try to be good, and it is expected that good things will happen to us. Okay, we go further. Right definition of success. This is very much important for the students. Yesterday I was discussing this also. Nowadays, success is defined as to always come first and experience the pleasure of being in the top, always being in the apex of the pyramid. Always come first. Like there are examinations like IIM, IIT, CAT and all that thing. Like there are 2 lakh people sit for the CAT examination, and of that 1,000 gets selected. Rest 1,90,000, they don't become cat, they become rat. So that is what they say. But it does not mean that others who are not made it, they are useless. It doesn't mean that they are useless. This is like just taking part in this examination, like India working in coming to the World Cups or India coming to the Olympics itself is a success by on its own. For example, there was a big rock as big as this room and very, very broad and huge. And God comes and says, the voice comes and God says, push the rock. And the next morning you go and push the rock. And after pushing, nothing happens. Next day you push. Third day you push. Week after week you push. After month you push. Then after 6 months you say, what is this? You told me to push the rock and nothing happened. Because nothing is practically happening. No success in. Then he says, why did you tell me to do this? And smiles at him and says, just have a look in the mirror. And he goes to the mirror and sees that, yeah, he has changed a lot. He has developed good physique. His body has become little stronger than before. Good arms and other things. Just by doing that, he was not able to push the rock, but at least he got some benefit out of it. While going through examinations like this, you are developing your mathematics skill and your vocabulary. This is also an asset. Like all those who are sitting for this examination. Actually, A society has created a standard for success. It's a wrong standard. It's a wrong definition of success. Suppose we go for a function, our parents come together, somebody asks your father, what is your son doing? Then the father will say, yes, my son is in IIT. Then the other person will say, yes, yeah, that is good. Then if somebody is asking, what is your son doing? He may say that he just joined IIM. Then say, yes, your son is very good. Or he is in NIIT. This is also one of the best engineering college. Then you will say, yes, your son is good. But if your father says, my son, yes, yes, he just now joined some commerce college or BA, then automatically what do you think the your relatives or family friends will say? They will not even look. They will just go and walk out. They think that if you are not doing engineering, if you are not doing going management, you are good for nothing. This is a wrong definition of success. Because it is not that everybody has to be the same. Because God has designed us, all of us, we are all different, we are all unique. What is the proof? All of us has got a different face cut. We got a different fingerprint. No two fingerprints can be same. In a way, there is a special some reason for which God has made us, and we may be not fitting into this frame. That's why the success is not coming. But the day we understand what God wants out of us, we understand that, and we start channelizing our energy and time into it, we'll see tremendous success. For example, not that everybody is a good mathematician, not that everybody is good in elocution, not that everybody is good in sports. Somebody is a good sportsman, somebody is good in mathematics, but we cannot expect to be good in all that. So people, they are carried away, thinking that if we work hard, we can be good in mathematics, we can be good in sports. They get carried away. They give examples like Dhirubhai Ambani, from rags to riches. But my dear friends, they say that working hard gives good results. And they quote some formulas. 99% perseverance and 1% inspiration. It is 99% perspiration. And 1% inspiration. That means work hard, and get little inspiration. And you should work, go on. If that is true, Tata and Birla, they are born rich. They did not work at all. And there are others who are working months after months in dark, black mine. Who is working hard?
Mine.
Yeah, those who are the mine. They are miners. They are not getting much money. And who is not, they are not working, but they are getting a lot of money. This factor called as success is not dependent on working hard. Working hard is just 20% of that factor. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly puts that success is dependent on 5 factors. One is our body, then soul, that is ourself, then super soul, endurance, which we put and the circumstances. So the hard work which you are putting is just 20%. And the major factor which affects is super soul, that people don't take into consideration. They will quote big, big examples like the owner of Nirma. He was a small time salesman, but he today is a millionaire. But the fact is, which is not seen by others, the Jyotish or those the astrologers, they see the hands, they are wondering why this fellow called as Dhirubhai is still just carrying loads in the road. I can see that he is already a millionaire. Or the person who is the owner of Nirma is saying that he is a millionaire already. How come he is still a beggar here? It is because of some bad karmas, his stuff, he is not getting it. And once that bad karma is done, it automatically shines as a millionaire. It's already in their destiny. And others are getting fooled by this and saying that he is successful because it was already there. There are five factors of that, they only see the one factor, hard work. And we are not discouraging hard work, but you know, we are telling there are five factors. You should also have super soul to sanction success for you. You should put your endurance, and also the environment should be good for bringing up success. The main factor is super soul. The main factor is super soul, that is God. That we should see. Like Duryodhan worked hard, and the Pandavas also worked hard. They did not work at all actually. Duryodhan was working hard that kingdom should always be with him as long as he lives. But the kingdom was not there. He had to die. But the Pandavas, they had, of the five factors, Duryodhan had four factors: body, circumstances, endurance, and what else was that?
Soul.
Soul. Soul was there. That is Duryodhan himself. But Krishna was not with him. Whereas with the Pandavas, they had Krishna with them. And they got everything. Within 18 days he got it. Both worked equally. But they had Paramatma, super soul, Krishna with them, and they got it. That way. Success has got five factors. We just see we just miss the main factor, that is the super soul. And in this way we have a wrong definition of success. Not understanding what we are made. There is a special purpose for which the Lord has brought us into this world. I have seen those boys who are not doing well in school, but when they go to college, they may do well. I have seen many people, they did not do well in school and college, but they did well in their professional life. Because they are made for that. Like in our temple life, I have seen devotees. They did not do well, but they pick up some skill and they do really well. They shine in that. Some have got the skill of singing. Some are good in dramas. Some are good in giving good presentations. So in this field, they become a success. We have some special qualities and we should try to recognize that and work on that. We are made for that and we should use it in the service of the Lord. That will make us shine. Not that everybody will be a manager or everybody will be an engineer. Once it happened that one boy around 6 years ago from Kanpur or some place, he topped in IIT JEE, that is Joint Entrance Examination. It is very difficult for those who are in science who will understand this. Like it's a very tough examination for entrance examination. And he came first, and after that he joined Bachelor of Arts. His parents were crying, "Arey, you fool, you should become an engineer, you will earn lot of money, name fame is already there with you." But he said, "I don't want that. I like to read Shakespeare and Charles Dickens and all that." So all that thing. But he knew what he is good in. In that way we should try to see what we are good in. Because we are all special. Give up unhealthy comparison. This leads to negative attitude and negative feelings. Give up. Unhealthy comparison means that we are not happy seeing others becoming successful. Like if we have our friend, we would like to see him always doing worse or better than us. Or if we see him doing better than me, then I start feeling very bad. Either both of us do very bad, or I should do better than him. That kind of, this is also very bad. It's called that crab mentality. Like in India, we have this crab mentality. Because this is not going to happen always. There will be somebody who will be better than us, who will sometimes do better than us. Then it will lead to jealousy, and with jealousy, it will lead to more other negative qualities will come within us. Like a crab, you see, he sees that somebody is going up, then he will pull him down and crush him down. This is also not favorable. This has to be given up. Then, this unhealthy comparison, what it leads us to? We see that somebody is doing better than us always, then we become very frustrated. It may become so bad that we may go and commit suicide. We cannot see others becoming successful in front of me. Especially among the equals, if somebody is doing better suddenly, it is hard to digest. How come all of a sudden he is getting more importance? Like I am also his brother or I am his friend. All of a sudden it is happening. If somebody else whom I don't know is doing well, whether Shah Rukh Khan becomes a super hit or Amitabh, it doesn't bother. But if my friend or brother becomes super hit, then you know it's dangerous for me to digest. It's very difficult. Like among the equals, if somebody XYZ becomes a millionaire, it doesn't matter. This unhealthy comparison leads to a lot of negative things. This leads to death, suicide also. But we will find that this kind of unhealthy comparison is not seen in the animal kingdom. So that's why they don't have that negative feelings also. They don't commit suicide. We don't hear that 2-3 sparrows committed suicide. No, because they are free from all this unhealthy comparison. They are very much peaceful. They are peaceful. Like a sparrow or a squirrel, he is in the branch of a tree. If he sees a giraffe, naturally he will appreciate, "Oh giraffe, you are so tall that your head is coming to this branch." So what did the giraffe see? The giraffe will say, "Oh squirrel, you are so lucky. When something danger comes, when I have to run, my neck gets stuck in the branches. But you are so small and so quick that you can go to the higher upper branches, go to the other trees also. Whereas I get stuck. So you are better than me." Naturally, they appreciate each other's quality. And they are not much to this thing. And what is healthy comparison? What is healthy comparison? Healthy comparison is that when we see someone below us, we should have sympathy for him, helping attitude. Whereas we see somebody above us, then we should take all the advice and all the help from such a person. Among the equal, we should have good friendship. This is healthy comparison. Whereas unhealthy comparison is, if we see someone below us, we become very proud, egoistic. And if we see somebody above us, we become very jealous. We feel very bad about it. And among equal, we become very rude. This unhealthy comparison. This unhealthy comparison should be given up. Otherwise, it will lead to more and more negative attitudes. Okay, we'll go further. This is count the blessings of God upon you. You all know that story? That one boy was shouting at his father. His father was poor. He said, "Give me the Reebok shoes." Then he said, "My dear son, it is out of budget. I don't know. It is costing 5,000 rupees or 1,000 rupees. Good Reebok shoes. I cannot do that." He said, "If you don't give me that Reebok shoes, then I will not go to school." And his father said, "I cannot help you." And the boy was playing at home. Then his father went to the others and asked money. And he was about to buy the Reebok shoe. Next day, the boy went around and he saw another boy who was not able to walk. He was coming in a wheelchair. Then he said that, "How lucky I am that God has blessed me with two beautiful legs. Here I am seeing a boy without legs." And he went to his father. He was about to buy the Reebok shoes. He said, "I don't want these shoes. God has given me so much. Why should I ask for much more? Be satisfied with God, what God has given us." This is the message. We can see a few more slides in this aspect. Like every morning we are getting up. If you woke up today with no pain, you are luckier than most people. We should thank God. Because most of the people, when they get up, they have a lot of problems. They have the worries which is carried forward from previous day. If you have never known the dangers of war, loneliness of prison or hunger, anybody? No, you are better than 500 million people in this world. You should thank God. We should thank God for many things. Like we are all sitting here, we got at least 2 legs, 2 hands, 2 eyes, nose and ears. At least we are fit. But we see there are people who are struggling to just breathe. We thank God. He has given us many things. And it is the nature, our nature, that we try to say that, "Oh, I did not get this, I did not get this." Rather, we should thank God that at least we are much better than many. Just go to the previous one. If you have never known the dangers, okay, go to the next one. Your basic needs are covered. You are richer than 75% of the rest of the world. We get a place to sleep. We get food to eat. So our basic needs are taken care of. So in this way, that's a good definition of a rich person. Rich person is that who has desires, who has got an asset, and his desires are less than his asset. Such a person is a rich man. Who is a poor man? A poor man is, he's got a lot of desires and no asset.
is always troubled. So this wonderful examples which are given here, from this we should understand that God has given us so much that, you know, we should not go on asking more and more and more. Whereas it's our nature in the material world, we want to have more and more. A poor man will say that a man in the village wants a house in city, Bombay, and a person who is in Bombay, he wants a place in New York, America, and a person who is in America, he wants a place in Moon, and a person in Moon, he wants to go somewhere. We want to go somewhere and other place. We want and want, because there is no end to such things. Always we will not get what we want. This world is designed in such a way that we will not get always what we want. And when we don't get what we want, then we become miserable. At some stage, like all these points, like success, expectation, and blessings. Like we won't get, this world is designed in such a way that we don't get what we want. Like sometimes there are advertisements which say that I get what I want. But tell me a fact, that is it true that always we get what we want? Many times we don't get what we want. That means when we don't get what we want, it is misery. It is termed as misery. What is misery? When we don't get what we want, or when we get what we don't want, headache, stomachache, we don't want. That is also misery. So this world is designed in such a way that not that everybody gets what they want. And if we keep in asking more and more and more and more, we will get frustrated and troubled, and we will be always in two worries. Rather, let us count on the blessings which the God has given. The material in this world, we should live in such a way that with whatever material facilities the God has given, we should thank Him. How should we live in this world? Like, materially, we should look at people below us, and we should thank God. Thank God that at least I have a small house, I can eat something. My parents are sometimes giving the fees and everything. I am better than so many people. Materially, we should compare with those below us. And when we come to the spiritual aspect, then we should compare with those above us. We should take inspiration from Srila Prabhupada, when Prahlad Maharaj, they are good personalities. Rather, in this material world, we will find that people are doing the other way. They are taking inspiration for those people who are materially better than them. They think that Bill Gates became intelligent, he did computers and he got a lot of money. Dhirubhai Ambani, he was an XYZ and he became a billionaire, and all that. We try to see those who are materially better than us, and we are getting frustrated with it. Rather, we see the other way, that materially, those who are below us, we should see them and we should thank God. And we should look for those who are doing spiritually better than us and take inspiration from them. Then our life will be blissful. Even if you even have some savings, you are part of 10% of some most prosperous people in the world. So all these things are like, we should count as the blessings of God. If you saw your parents grow old together, you are almost unique. It's a very, I don't know, but like for all those who are sitting here, I am confident that your parents are together. And and it's a very difficult thing, especially if you go beyond Borivali or more towards Kaffir, it's difficult that you will find that the children will see their father and mother together. Most of the time they are just applied for divorce, and the child is actually sometimes with the father, sometimes with the mother. And if you go to New York and other places, definitely the child, if he is 13 years old, is thrown out. Neither father takes care of him and another mother.
So we can understand so much good things we have. We should count the blessings which God has given us. If you smile and appreciate life, you are lucky. What does it mean? That you are getting your minimum required necessities like good food and a place to sleep. You are lucky actually, because lots of people can, but they don't. Many of them, they don't get enough food to eat also. Such is the position. So we are able to smile. It's a big thing. Why don't we count on this? If you have someone whose hand you can hold or can hug or even just a shoulder to touch, be happy. You will never be lonely. This is good for India. Like India, in India it's a more social, and we'll find that everybody has got a friend or he's got someone to share with. But if you go to other places like Europe, there are people, they don't smile. They are afraid to smile. They don't make friends at all, because they have been cheated, used and abused, that they want to be alone. And they don't trust anybody. Not even the parents, not even the relatives, friends. They just have dogs with them. So much so that now they don't even trust the dogs and animals. They go into play with computers, or they work with computers. They live a lonely life. And they are actually living a unnatural life. Very unnatural life. They are lonely actually, and they like to be lonely. They don't like to be lonely, but they have to live lonely. Because that is better than being with someone who is going to use and abuse. Such is their life. So we can understand that we have somebody to share our views. If you can read this, who can read this from back? Because more than 2 million people on this planet can't read this. Two reasons. Either they are blind or they are not educated. So we should thank God. Count the blessings. Why count your problems and be miserable? I have so many problems, so many things. Why don't you see? Materially, we should see those who are below. Better count your blessings, be happy. One who is not grateful to God is a great fool. Is F-O-O-L. One who is not grateful to God is a great fool. God has done so much for us. Let us see that and be happy. Otherwise, there is always reason to curse and be worried and be miserable. And that is not good. So easy formula is always, this is actually Chanakya Pandit who says this, that be satisfied in life with 3 things and never be satisfied in life with 3 things. What are these 3 things? They are material. The food we get in the plate. Many of us are sitting together. You will say, why? I got only one chapati. He is getting a very nice paratha. No, you be satisfied with your chapati. At least you got this chapati. There are many who don't get chapatis. They do not get for the day. Be satisfied. Because as soon as you compare with others, then trouble starts within you. Why did he get a rasgulla and a rasmalai? I have only mirchi yeah, with chapati. It will, some burning sensation will come within the heart. Why should we do that? Then the money we earn, why should you look at others' pocket? According to our karma, we are supposed to get this much. Be satisfied, at least we are getting that. There are people who don't even get that. At least we have got some money with us. Our parents are giving some money, or we have got a job with at least some salary. There are those who don't get salary, they don't get money from the parents, they don't know what to do now. These are 2 things And the third thing which Chanakya Pandit says is for the family members, be satisfied with the wife you have. Otherwise you will say, my neighbor's wife is much beautiful than me. Because it will create a burning sensation within you. It's not required. You always think about other person's money, again your mind will be going to miserable situation. Not required. But Chanakya Pandit says, be unsatisfied with three things. What is that? That they are the three spiritual attitudes, like three spiritual acts. One is chanting the holy name of the Lord. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. How much ever you chant, don't think that you have chanted a lot. You should think that I have not chanted a lot. I should chant more and more. Scriptures. How much ever time you read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you should say that it is less. 100 times, 200 times, it is less. The more we read is less. Or the donation which we give, we should not think that, oh, I have given so much money. Oh, I am great. No, we are not great. God is great. So in this way, Chanakya Pandit says that materially, we should be immediately satisfied with what the God has given us. Learn to be happy. We should always learn to be happy. Happiness means to be happy now and here. Because this life will always tell you that if I get that particular post, if I get that particular, I get that kind of treatment, if I get that money or something, then I will be happy. And when you reach that post, or when you get that object, then again you say, if I get something, much more. Like the example, from village we go to the city, from city we go to New York, from New York we go to moon, from moon we have to go to somewhere. Always there will be something ahead of us. And we will never be happy. We will always be hankering. And what will happen if we don't get what we want? We will get frustrated. And this is going to happen in this material world. That is going to happen. Either we get what we want, then we will hanker for more. And if we don't get what we want, we will be miserable. Happiness means be happy right now and here, because God has given you many things. Count the blessings. That is happiness. Count your blessings. What do you see here? What do you see here? They are scratching their backs. They are scratching the back. Each is scratching the other side. Don't be overly bothered about what world thinks of you. Don't be bothered what they are thinking about you. Because the world will have always a different views. We should have some principle in our life. We should be a self-principled personality. We have principles and we should stick to our principles. We should not just think about what this world is going to do. I'll come to that point. Before that, I would like to tell a story. This is like scratching the back. If you tell you are very good, the other person will also say, yeah, you are also good. It is all superficially happening. It's not genuine. There was a camel. He had a big wedding festival. And the camel had invited all the animals in the jungle. All the animals came with a gift. Like this. They are standing in the queue. The donkey also got the invitation, he also came. In a hurry, he forgot to buy the gift. Now what should he do? So this is a saying. Ostranam hi vivayeshu gadarbam pratigachati parasparam prashananti aho rupam aho ganim. So what happened was, The donkey said, at least I did not buy some gift, but at least I will tell some words which will make this camel happy. So the camel is such an ugly looking animal which is tall, with a fat belly and some neck which is broad, and mouth is also not. Aho Rupam, Aho Rupam, Aho Rupam, the donkey was shouting, singing. He was thinking that he is singing. So Aho Rupam, Aho Rupam, he was saying, you are so beautiful, you are so beautiful. And actually the donkey, if he sings, means what? Everybody will feel very bad. But the camel said, oh, he is glorifying my beauty. Aho Rupam, I am so good. So the camel was swinging his head like this, like this, like this, very happily. But what did the camel say? Then the camel said, Aho Rupam, Aho Dvanim. He said, Aho Dvanim, Aho Dvanim. He said, what wonderful melodious song you are singing. How melodious, how melodious. Aho Rupam, Aho Dvanim, Aho Rupam, Aho Dvanim. The camel was shaking his head like this, like this, like this. By shaking his head, he got his neck cracked. And his donkey was getting scratched. He was getting more glorified. You are singing so nice. He was shouting more loudly. The people got angry and started hitting the donkey, and this camel, he got a big neck. This is what happens when we scratch others' back, and it is not genuine appreciation. We'll get a sprain in the neck, or we'll be getten by, you know, that's what happened. Aho Rupam, Aho Dvanim. It is dangerous. This is what happens in this world. People actually like to glorify us. But we should not look for such, we should not try to look for like, you know, such superficial, not genuine praises. This is scratching the back. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Just we should be fixed up in our principles. Like people will say, you are going to the temple, what kind of person you are? You are supposed to be a student, then you go to the old age, that's the time. Or you are coming to the temple, people say, "Arey, we should go to Vrindavan, you are sitting in Bombay." So in this way, different people will tell different. But you should have a principle that I am a student, I have to study, and I've got something to do. Be fixed up in your principle. Don't let people's opinions shake you. Somebody praises you, you should not get excited and sing like the donkey. Or shake your head like the camel. People are often illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. They have something within them. That's why they are trying to push you or bring you down. If you are kind, people may accuse you. If you have some good quality of being kind, giving money, place to people, people will accuse of being selfishness. Like you said that. They will say you got the people will say that. If you are kind, people will accuse that you are doing this because you have got some motives. You are giving donation because you got something you want in return. Next. Be kind anyway. People say that you are giving money to the poor or the temple because you want some name fame. That's why you are doing it. But still, you be kind. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true friends. Do go ahead, be successful. Next. If you are honest and frank, people may call you knave or may cheat you. If you are honest, people may glorify you, you are good, or they may cheat you. Still, you maintain your principle of being honest and frank. Next. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Like this is principles, like, you know, being honest, being frank, being successful, this is all being kind. It's all principles which takes years and lives to build up. But by a small statement, we can crush it up. There is a small story which comes in the scriptures. There was a father and a son, they were coming with a donkey. So people started laughing. Oh, what kind of fools they are? They got a donkey. They should take advantage. So they said, then the father said, son, you please sit on the donkey. The son sat on the donkey. Then they went a little further. Then what happened? People started shouting, what a nonsense this boy is. His father is walking and is sitting very happily in the donkey. Then they got shaken away. Hurry, hurry. Then this boy got down and he told his father to sit. Then after passing some few more distance, people said, look, he's making his son walk and punishing him, and he himself is acting like a king. Then his father got afraid, and he walked, what should I do? Then again, they walked. They walked with the donkey. They did not use the donkey. They said, what fools they are. They have a donkey, but they are not using it. Then both of them sat on the donkey. Now after walking some distance, obviously the donkey was tired and getting very, fume was coming from his nose. Some people started shouting, what shameless people they are. Just to experience the pleasure of walking over a donkey, both of them are sitting and not thinking about the poor donkey. Then they again started shivering. They got down and they said, what to do? If I sit, people come and if I don't, if you sit, people come and both of us sit, people come and if we don't sit, people come and let us take the donkey on us and we'll go. And they are walking. Then people started laughing. So we should have a principle. These people are shaken by other people's comments. And what did we say? People are illogical, unreasonable, they have some motives to shake us. So we have a principle. We are frank and humble and tolerant and kind. Let us have these principles in our life. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. They'll say, you are this, and you're gone. Next. Build anyway. You should have this. Principles. If you find serenity and happiness, there may be jealous. Like if you find an activity in which you feel it is, you know, makes sense, serenity makes sense and it gives you happiness, go perform this duty, be happy anyway, because there will be people who will be jealous and try to pull you down. Don't go there. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Obviously, this world is designed in such a way, whatever good you do, people will definitely forget it. Like the father and the mother does the best for the children. As soon as the child gets married, he kicks away the father. But still, it's the duty of the father and the mother to do good. We should do good. Right, I'm just giving some examples. Do good anyway. Like many times it happens that we have do all the good things. One wrong thing we did, our friend will say, why you did not give me that pen when I wanted? I will forget that we were sharing, we gave him money for the bus and we gave many things, shoes when he wanted, but he did not give me that. One thing he will catch and he will forget all the good things. It happens. So still, do good anyway. Give the world the best you have. It may never be enough. Always. If we want the best, always give the best to this world. Always give the best to this world. Those people who are successful, always they give the best to the world and they get the best. If you see successful people, actually they are giving more than taking. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Actually, in the final thing, it is between us and the God. Whatever God has given, we are giving it to God back. And people around, actually, they will, whatever noise they make, we should not bother, get bothered, because they are not in the picture at all. It is God who is giving us many things, we have to give it. We have principles in life, We should not get shaken away by comments of the people. Otherwise, we will have to carry the donkey and walk and be a object of mockery. Yeah, our life, we should have some principles. Let us see
When I was born, I was dying to go to school. Like when I was a small child, I was thinking, when I'm KG, and I think that if I get an ink pen in my hand, I will be happy. So when I get ink pen in fifth standard, I think that if I wear full pen, I'll be happy. So when I go to the school, I think that if I go to the college, I'll be like I'm dying to go to college. And when I was in college, I was thinking that, oh ho, college is no fun. If I start earning money, then it will be fun. Then I'm dying to start earning. And when I was earning, then I was thinking, oh ho, earning is not enough. I should have a friend, then I should get married to that friend. Oh, if I get married. So I was dying to get married. When I got married, I think, yeah, this is not fun. I should have children, then I can shout at them or sometimes take them to the school and, you know, boss over them. And I was dying to have kids. And when I had kids, then I was thinking, oh, I should educate them and all that. So I get them educated. And when they were educated, I was dying to get them married. I wanted to see my grandchildren. When they got married, when they got married, now I am dying and I realized I forgot to live. I was always thinking, one step ahead. What is the definition of happiness? Definition of happiness, live now. Happiness means be in present and here. Like be here at this time, be happy. That's why small children, you find they are always happy. Because they are not thinking about future or they are not worried about the past, they are happy. Because they are not worried about anything, they know that parents are there too. They are so small and tiny, but they are so happy. We have become grown old, but we are not able to catch the small lesson which the children are promising. So be happy right now, here. So that is actually real happiness. Otherwise, you know, we will always think next, and this next will develop. We will end up. Okay. Tolerate the swabhav of others. What does the mean? What the meaning of swabhav? Nature. Everybody's got a nature. You know. We always complain that, you know, somebody gets married, he may think that my wife is so bossy, she always shouts. How good it would have been if my wife was humble, talks sweetly, early morning, get up earlier than me and wake me up and pays obeisance to me. Swamiji, uthiye. How good it will be. So, he is thinking, dreaming something. And Chanakya Pandit says that be satisfied with whatever you are. And he was thinking, he is not able to tolerate this. Why my wife is so bossy? Or my father is like this, my brother is like this, or my friend is like this. Why? There is some nature. And this nature is very difficult to get out of. Our nature, our swabhav is like a dog's tail. A dog's tail, we can keep it for 12 years with a straight rod. You remove the rod, again the tail will come. So the swabhav of a wife or a friend, we should keep tolerant. Better learn to tolerate, because it is said that we can adjust ourselves. We cannot change the whole world, but at least we can adjust our own self. We will go further and look into it. So that is a very beautiful prayer. It goes on like this. Oh God, please give me the strength to change the things that I can change. The few things within our influence. The serenity. That, what is the meaning of serenity? That sense. The serenity to accept things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. You all able to see at the back? So So it is a wonderful thing. Actually, something called as circle of influence and circle of concern. You all know about this or heard about this. Circle of influence and circle of concern. You have influence, we have influence. Like, suppose you have influence at your home, parents. So, you feel that everybody should drink cow milk. Though, so you can, how much, in actuality, you can influence those people who are near to you. And you can tell we should drink cow milk and your parents. But if you think that the whole world should drink cow milk, you are concerned about cows and think that they should drink cow milk, then it is actually beyond our circle of influence. We are actually concerned, but this concern is good, but it should not become too much. Again, I will read this. Oh God, please give me the strength to change the things I can. There are few things which is in my limit that I can change. And there are few things which are not within my limits. Then I should not go and try to do that. And many times what happens, we are not able to understand what to do and what is within our limit and what is outside our limit. So that's why, give me the wisdom to know the difference. Circle of influence and circle of concern. Like, if you remember, on 31st of December, there was a small video I showed you, that the young man, he wants to see that the whole world should be happy. He comes with a mission and he can actually open that mission. And that video, you saw it? If you have seen it, it shows that the mission as soon as it is open, he sees that some people are walking and one of them falls down. So he turns that mission, the whole world goes behind in time. And when the person is about to fall down, he changes something and the person is saved. So but while doing that, somebody else falls down. The ball hits somebody, many things happen. In the end, the man gets frustrated, he throws away the mission and he runs away. He is concerned that the whole world should be happy. In the end, what happens? He himself is unhappy, he is frustrated and he runs away. Whereas, we see Srila Prabhupada, he was one man. He was also concerned about the whole world should be happy. But he knew that he has no influence on people. So he went to America and he influenced two or three Americans. And once, from one it became three, and from three it became 10, from 10 it became 30, and he sent everybody to different places in the world. In this way, his circle of influence slowly became wider and wider and wider. And it became, the circle of influence started touching the circle of concern. In this way, Srila Prabhupada could do the job peacefully and very happily. Try to widen your circle of influence and you touch the circle of concern. It's little, lot of management is usually given in management classes. So we should understand what is within our limit and what is outside our limit. This is a beautiful story. We will always cry, God, why did you send such a friend to me? Why did you send such a neighbor to me? Why did you send such a parents to me? Why did you send such a brother or friend or sister or wife or husband or son or daughter? Why? So one person was, this is a story of a butterfly and a flower. One person was praying, God, please give me a butterfly and a flower. So what did God give him? Next. Once there was a man who asked God for a flower and a butterfly. So what did God give him? But instead God gave him a cactus and a
So the man was crying.
The man was sad. He didn't understand why his request was mistaken. And he thought, oh well, God has too many people to care for. And he decided not to question.
He thought that God is so busy.
Wait a minute. After some time, the man went to check up for his request. He forgot that he had asked this request and he was just going on next. To his surprise, after some days, from the thorny, ugly cactus, a beautiful flower had grown, and unsightingly, caterpillar had become transformed into the most beautiful butterfly. So, God always does things right. His way is always the best way. Even if to us it seems all wrong. If you ask God for one thing and receive another, trust God. You can be sure that He will always give you what you need at the appropriate time. He will give you. We should not think we are very clever. We should always trust in God. Once there was a man, he was thinking he was very clever. He was doing lot of austerity, tapasya. And he asked God, and he said, and after some time God appeared in front of him. He said, My dear God, you have all the wealth in this world. A bit of your wealth. No, what did he say? He said that, why don't you give me a small drop of your wealth? He thought that he is very intelligent. He is asking God, and God will think that, no. Like he knew God has got so much wealth, a drop of wealth of God means it is actually equal to crores, trillions and billions together. So he thought he is very intelligent. Then God also said, he has got lot of time. So God has said, I will give you in a second. And God's 1 second is thousands and thousands of years. That means the man will get the money after thousands and thousands of years. So trust, but God will give what we ask in the right time. Sometimes we ask for something, I want lot of money. But if we get that money, we will misuse it, we will take drugs, we will take liquor and we will kill ourselves. That's why God will wait for you. You become alright. You have a proper consciousness, I will give you 1 crore. And we will use this 1 crore to make beautiful bungalows and beautiful houses in service of God. Okay, next. Appropriate time. The God will give everything in appropriate time. What you want is not always what you need. Many times we want something but it is actually not required. It's not required. God never fails to grant our petitions. So keep on going for Him without doubting or murmuring. Today's thorn is tomorrow's flower. So this is a beautiful thing. So we should trust in God. God gives the very best to those who leave the choices up to Him. Just be like a small child. Parents are there to take care. So just leave it to the God. Give your petition, leave it to the God. And God knows when to give and how to give. But He will give, definitely. Okay. Problems cannot be solved at same level of awareness that created. We are thinking at one level, but if we leave it to God, He knows the best way to solve the problem. That's another dimension. Yeah, this is another dangerous thing. The give up, the blame game. See the sunny side of people. It's always
Like the previous one was always tolerate the nature. We cannot change why my mother-in-law is like this, why my daughter-in-law is like this. God, please change the daughter-in-law. Just tolerate. Tolerate. Learn to tolerate. And pray and tolerate. One day things will change. Even if it doesn't change, tolerate. God knows what is best for us. Give up the blame game. See the sunny side of people. We always like to put the blame on others if we are not successful, if we are not up to the mark. So we should, here it is said that give up the blame game, and we should understand the other person is also a person, he is a part and parcel of God. He is a wonderful entity and he has got some speciality in him. See something good in other people also. That is what is the meaning of this particular thing. If we keep blaming others, 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 actually, if we keep blaming, it's like a mirror. The blames will come on us. And it does not make us a better person. Rather, if we see good in others, every person, however bad he is, he has got something good. There was a very, 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 very rich man. His name was Andrew Carnegie. He had almost 43 millionaires working under him. Very rich. 43 millionaires is a big thing. Then somebody interviewed him. How come so rich people are working? Because rich people are difficult to handle. Then he gave a small example and he made his point very clear. He said that when we go to dig gold, there is mountains of mud, dust, which is to be thrown. Still, the person who is successfully digging is looking for the gold, not at the heaps of dust or mud. Similarly, he was seeing good in others and he was working hard to bring out the good in others. He was not seeing how dirty he is, how, what kind of a person he is. That way he was dealing with big people and he became very big. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he saw hippies. What good is there in the hippies? The hippies, they have long hair, long mustache, long beard. Why? Because they don't care about their body to such extent that they don't care to take bath for months. They get up in the afternoon drinking, start drinking liquor. They are shameless. They got all the bad habits. They take drugs. They fight. They don't know what they are doing. They are always into sex and drugs. No good qualities. They will abuse. They will sing. They will cry. Nonsense. These hippies are nonsense. But Prabhupada could see some good thing in them. And he sparked the flame of goodness and created that spark into a flame. Each person became such great devotees that they took up the message of Krishna consciousness all over the world and spread it. And today that is why we in India are practicing Krishna consciousness, because of those hippies. He converted those hippies who are shameless into happy, because he was not blaming. They are drunkards, they don't know when to get up in the morning, when to go to sleep. But he saw something good. They are listening. They want to sing and dance. And he was singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they were singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He was dancing in the tune of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they were dancing slowly, slowly, slowly. Through music, he taught them, gave them the best thing. He did not complain. Blame. He saw the sunny side of it. And such a big organization is standing. Okay. It is because of this uncontrolled mind and the senses, which is taking us to many, many different places. We are coming to the eighth point. That is, we have many, many desires. Desires to have good friends. We have desire to eat non-veg. Desire to sing and dance. Desire to see movies. One person is having many desires. If we keep on going to fulfill all the desires, more desires will come. So it is said that we should not suppress the desire, that is also not possible, or we should not fulfill the desire. If we suppress the desire, we become frustrated, and if we fulfill the desire, again the hankering will come, and point will come, we will not be able to fulfill the desire again, back to square one, that is frustration. So the desires are there. I want to see something beautiful, I want to hear something beautiful, I want to sing, I want to dance. This desire should be sublimated, that means channelized. How? Next. Desire should not be expressed, that should not be fulfilled or suppressed, but it should be sublimated. Like the desire to see something good. Let us see the best person in the world, that is Krishna and Radharani. The eyes get wonderful nourishment. Eyes are purified. We want to dance. If we go to the discotheque, what will happen? One person will dance and sing, and we will just sit and see. We come and dance in front of Radha and Krishna. We can dance, we see others dancing, our heart gets filled and purified. We want to eat. Why should we eat the junk? Get health problem. If we eat the prasadam, honor to Krishna, we will forget eating non-veg. Anybody who drinks charnamrit every day for 1 month will forget drinking liquor, beer, rum and everything. That's the power. Sublimated. The power. Desire should be sublimated. Next. So with this we have covered 8 points. Like the first point was unreasonable expectation leads to frustration. So we should have reasonable expectation. Success, the definition is wrong. That's why it leads to worry. So we change the definition of success. Just taking part itself is a success. We should understand we are special. There are some special qualities which we can come out. In this way we saw many, many things which seem wrong, in a wrong direction, led to negative. But if we understand everything, the right perspective, the Vedic perspective, how to be tolerant and humble, giving respect to others without expecting respect, we will see that all the good qualities comes within us. So these are the list of positive thoughts which we showed in the beginning of the joy, love, hope, mercy, peace, honesty, which comes if we follow these 8 points, tolerance, enthusiasm, understanding. And this negative factors can be taken care of, anger. Like when we don't become successful, we will become anger. And when our expectation is not fulfilled, we become stressful. When we start comparing people, then ego will come into the picture. And also jealousy and racism will come into picture. Sometimes when we find that we are becoming hopeless, we become lazy. And in many cases, revenge, carelessness, criticism and all these things is also seen if the 8 things are not taken care of. Don't waste your time thinking about what wrong we did in the past or thinking about our future. Live now and here. That is how we can be happy. Okay. Withdraw the mind from negative and wasteful thoughts. Focus it on positive and necessary thoughts. We should understand the positive things and the necessary. There are many unnecessary. Actually, many times of our life is gone just thinking about wrong things. Hours after hours. We are just worrying. It is said in English that worry may bury you. Worry leads to more worry. Worry will not rob your happiness in future. Worry is actually robbing your happiness in present. So why worry? Worry may bury you. So don't worry. like we spend time worrying, nights after nights, sometimes switching on the light, switching off the light, you know, should I do this, should I do that, worrying. So don't waste time worrying. How do we save our time from worrying? We can save our time from worrying by chanting. Actually, many times we feel that chanting means waste of time. No, actually, chanting does not take our time. Actually, chanting takes our worries away. It's worry which wastes our time. Chanting is not taking our time. Actually, chanting is giving us more time because we will not worry. Okay, so let us chant and not worry. Next. Why we have negative thoughts? Because we get negative input. Garbage in, garbage out. Positive in, positive out. Negative in, negative out. Good in, good out. It is called ego. Good in, good out. Garbage in, garbage out. Ego. Next. Actually, how do we change ourselves? By reading good books, seeing good movies, listening good music and having good friends. This is called ABC. Good, okay, next. If we develop our mind, like how will we develop our mind? By having good association, books and chanting. ABC, next. From negative emotions, eliminate distraction, focus in life, next. Grants peace and satisfaction. This is actually real positive mental attitude. That inner strength we can get by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So I stop here. We have got few more slides. We'll just go fast through it. Slides. Okay, next. This we have seen previously, so I will not go through it.
We have a drama now?
Yeah. Pass. So, any questions? Was this seminar too fast or difficult to understand? Or it made any sense or it was nonsense? Comments? It was useful, not useful? Sense, no, nonsense, fast, or it was above our head, or it was too slow. Comments, questions? Okay, Vivek.
One question,
killing factor. Like there is only one lion in the jungle. Ek mayan mein do talwar. So this is all in the material thing and way of looking at things. Because in the spiritual world, time also expands, place also expands. Okay. So we say that, okay, there should be one king and you also want to become king. That doesn't mean that I will kill my father. That's what Aurangzeb did. He killed Shahjahan or he imprisoned him. You wait, after some time you will become the king. You develop the qualities of a king. If you don't become king here, you will become king somewhere else. Yeah, we got the example of Dhrumara. He got a bigger kingdom. God created a bigger kingdom. Depend on God. Guru Maharaj wanted a kingdom. He went to God. He did not kill his father and sat on the throne. Even if he did that, then his kingdom is lesser than Brahma's kingdom. His grandfather's kingdom. So he prayed to Krishna. Krishna gave him. You ask Krishna, he will give you more than what you want. Unlimited. Correct? Any more questions? Comments? Sense, nonsense, or you want to say question? Okay, good.
My name is Dr.
Yeah.
Dharma.
Dharma. Oh. The question is, what is the meaning of dharma? Actually, it's not connected with our topic today directly, but still, dharma is means that quality in a person or an object which cannot be removed. For example, quality of sugar is to be sweet. Sweetness cannot be removed from, separated from sugar. So it's dharma of sugar to be sweet. Salt is all salty. We cannot remove salt and saltiness. Then the whole object fully changes. Water has to be wet and flow. And that wetness cannot be removed from water. Then the whole object is changed. It can be ice or water vapor. So dharma for the soul is to always serve, love. Loving and serving is a dharma of the soul. We will see that everybody is loving somebody and serving someone. Okay, there's no person who is not loving anyone or not serving anyone. Like Prabhupada gives a very good example. The child, mother is serving the child. The child is serving the parents and the mother is serving the father, and the father is serving the boss, and the boss is serving his wife. It goes on. It says that everybody is serving someone or other. Even an old man, he is serving. If he has got no service to do in the office, then he goes and serves a dog. He carries a dog and walks with the dog. So he is doing service. There is nobody who can be without any service. That is the nature. That is cannot be removed from us. That is called as dharma. To serve is our dharma. And our dharma becomes a real dharma when we serve God. Actually, we are supposed to serve God. And till the time we don't serve God, we will be doing service, but we will not get happiness. When we serve God, we will get real happiness. Okay, dharma means serving. Okay, that particular nature which cannot be separated. So, one more question. You get everybody ready so that we don't waste time also. Okay. The questions can go on and then get ready. Your question, please. Your good name?
You said that.
Your name I can ask.
Myself Prem Pratap. My name is Prem Pratap.
Very nice.
You said you have to live right now. Not
yeah,
here,
live
not
means right now and here.
Yeah, here.
Time is now, place is here. We have to be happy.
If I want a success person, I have to some planning, some organization.
Yeah.
So I have some work I have to
do. Do it now and here. Do it nicely.
Suppose I have long-term planning.
Okay.
So I have to go according to that. I have to plan for that.
Yeah, you make a plan. See, everything in time. And time for everything. Give yourself, this is the time for planning. When you make a long-term plan, it's like aims and objectives. You have got an aim to go to church gate. Then you will understand, when I reach Daisar, I'm going in the proper direction. So you have a long-term plan and you have short-term plans also. This is actually time management. So you make a plan in the time of planning. Okay, it's a constructive thing. It's not like waste of time. It's not that. So it's when it's time for planning, plan it. And when it's time for executing, execute it. Then how do you know what you are doing is correct according to the plan? When you are going in the right direction, you want to go to church gate, then how do you know? If you are reaching Bayandar, then immediately you know something is wrong. Then you take a bottom turn and go towards Mira Road and Daisar. So everything in time. There is time for planning, plan it. And when there's time for executing, execute it. Don't keep worrying about the future. Planning is different and worrying is future. Planning is something constructive. Okay? Dreaming and worrying about, that is a different thing. Things should change. No. Your planning is something constructive. It's a different thing. Okay, any more questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Put on the light. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Yeah, let the focus be on. Focus ko on karo.
You said please comment something.
Yeah.
So, I think today's lecture was thoroughly practical.
Okay.
And it was really practical, really helpful. And one thing I really enjoyed, really liked in fact, made me aware that you said one thing that we are always, I'll be, if this thing happens, I'll be happy. And then we motivate ourselves to get there. When we reach there, then we tell the next time, the next thing something happens, I'll be happy. And that was the thing I think I was doing in my life.
Okay.
I was continuously doing it, like it was like a chain, you know, we do this, it'll be happy, we do this, now we are here. I'm here. Yeah. I'm happy now, that's it. Next time what will happen, it'll happen. Thank you. Very practical, very nice. Thank you. Now we have a simple skin on the power of positive thinking. Basically focus on the principle, what goes in, that goes out. जो अंदर जाता है वही बाहर आता है. Ego principle, good things in, good things out. Negative things in, negative things out. Today we have a beautiful skit. That is progress in video. How many of you are positive thinkers? You know, I genuinely think positive and I get positive outcomes in my life. How many of you? Please raise your hand. Yeah, how many of you tend to think, okay, I do negative things, negative,
how many? Sometimes.
And how many of you are like half-half, you are negative,
okay, one is enough, actually. If it works, then... That's okay.
Hare Krishna, I request everybody to come ahead because there's only one mic. So it will be difficult for you to hear. Ravnesh is always a positive thinker. Of course, one more thing, Ravnesh is not alone, he is also having his mind along with him. So mind is also shown by a person.
How difficult for a man? Can Kandaka problem solve? Kandaka. Ye problem, 1 plus 2 raised to 33 upon 33 in the third tenet.
अभी देखिए रत्नेश, आपने अभी देखा रत्नेश, अभी देखिए गणेश, व्हाट इज डूइंग, ही इज ऑलवेज थिंकिंग क्रिएटिव.
कुछ नहीं करते
माइंड्स जो उनको पॉजिटिव एंड निगेटिव थॉट्स दे रहे हैं। अभी देखिए आगे क्या होता है, अभी है एग्जाम की प्रिपेयर तो उन्होंने किया, एग्जाम भी दे दी, अभी रिजल्ट की बारी है, तो एग्जाम की प्रिपरेशन तो कर रहे हैं। क्या हो रहा है एग्जाम की प्रिपरेशन? देखिए रत्नेश और उनके माइंड
मैथ्स करने का है, साइंस करने का है,
Gracias.